Thank you, Jonathan, for your testimony this morning. That was very encouraging to hear. Revelation says that the saints overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives even to the death. That daily testimony, what God's doing today, not just what Jesus did 10 years ago in my life, but today. So that was very encouraging to hear. So speaking of Satan and overcoming the enemy, today we're doing the doctrines of Satan and sin, kind of heavy topics, but because we serve a great God, they both end very gloriously. So the New Life Statement will say about Satan, we believe in the existence of Satan and his angels, who were created good but rebelled against God and were cast down from heaven to earth, awaiting everlasting punishment in the lake of fire, having already been defeated by and subjected to Jesus Christ. We will talk in the weeks ahead about Satan's ultimate defeat and being cast into the lake of fire. I think Levi's going to hit on that, so we're not going to hit on that this morning. But we do believe here that all the angels were created good because they were created by a good God in order to worship and serve him. Some of them rebelled and were cast out of heaven down to earth. I'm not going to read any of those scriptures. Those are ones that talk about it. Ezekiel says that Satan was blameless until the day that iniquity was found in him. So again, we believe that they were created good. They rebelled, were cast down to the earth. And there's more, a lot more details on that in the booklet, Light Shines into Darkness, in the back, if you're interested in that. And then you can check out these scriptures. Moving into the sin doctrine, God created man for the purposes stated in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, that fivefold purpose there, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue, and rule. They were to subdue the enemy and image forth the glory of God. So the next statement will say, we believe God directly created Adam from the dust and Eve from his side, the historical parents of the entire human species, and that they were created in the image of God, distinct from all of the living creatures, and in an original state of sinlessness. Our first parents sinned by rebelling against God's revealed will and thereby incurred God's righteous judgment, both physical and spiritual death, that because of Adam's disobedience, all human beings were constituted sinners, that as a result, all human beings are born spiritually dead in sin, alienated from the life of God, slaves to sin, unable to submit to God apart from grace, by nature, children of wrath. So I'm just going to break that down a little bit. The statement, our first parents sinned by rebelling against God's revealed will and thereby incurred God's righteous judgment, both physical and spiritual death. Sin essentially means to miss the mark, whether you're missing the mark intentionally or accidentally. It means to miss the mark. As Paul says in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Adam's case, the mark was, eat all the trees except for that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they missed it. Adam and Eve missed that mark, not by accident, but by intentional and specifically disobeying God. They were told not to do this, and they specifically disobeyed it. They missed the mark. They were told that the very day they ate of that tree, they would die. But physically, we know that Adam didn't die for another 900 and some years. So when God says the very day you eat of it, the very moment, he's not talking about the physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. And by spiritual death, what I mean is separated from the life of God. The very moment Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they spiritually died. That is, they were separated from the life of God. Isaiah 59:2 says something to the effect of, it is your sins that have separated you from me. So then the next statement, because of Adam's disobedience, all human beings were constituted sinners, and as a result, all human beings are born spiritually dead in sin, alienated from the life of God. Adam's offspring inherited his sinful nature, and thus all people are born spiritually dead, separated from the life of God. Just as a child inherits his parents' DNA, we inherited Adam's spiritual deadness. So people sin because we're born sinful. Whether that's intentional sin or unintentional, we are born spiritually dead, alienated, and separated from the life of God. There's several scriptures for that. Again, I'm not going to read those this morning, just don't have a whole lot of time. The next statement is, we are slaves to sin, unable to submit to God apart from grace, by nature, children of wrath. Jesus says in John 8:34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And those other references there are multiple verses that refer to us being slaves of sin, enslaved, and as slaves of sin, sin is our master, and we do what it commands us to do, powerless to do anything but sin. Jesus, or in Romans 14:23, Paul says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So based on these two verses, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, and without faith it is impossible to please God. It means that unbelievers by nature do not do anything from faith into the glory of God. Therefore, everything unbelievers do is sin. It's a big statement. Everything unbelievers do is sin, whether that's intentional sin or unintentional. They're missing the mark of living for the glory of God by faith. Even the good that they do is sin. Unbelievers do some good things because it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they ate from. So all people have an understanding of right and wrong, of good and bad. But as unbelievers, being dead in our trespasses and sins, everything we do, the Bible says, is sin. That's why Paul will say in Romans 3 that no one is righteous, not even one. No one does good. No one seeks after God. And that's describing our state as separated from God. As Isaiah says, that even our most righteous deeds are like filthy rags, in Isaiah 64:6, tainted by unbelief and incomplete dependence upon God and inaccurate goals. Unbelievers always miss the mark. Paul will tell us in Romans 8 that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot submit to God's law. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus says in John 3 that by nature as humans, we love and prefer the darkness to light. Jesus says again in John 6 that the flesh profits absolutely nothing. And then in John 15, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. That's all a lot of heavy stuff describing our state. And then Paul kind of summarizes all of this, that the unbelievers, as in Ephesians, he says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It's a lot of heavy stuff, but the conclusion of all this, again, we serve a great God, and it ends gloriously. So then I will end by saying this. We were by nature children of wrath, fully deserving the wrath of God, but because of God's love and by his grace, his wrath towards us was satisfied in Christ. Where then can we boast, or what do we have to boast about? We have but one place to boast. As Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Then that psalm we sang this morning, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, the entirety of it, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.